The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star. Now, your hosts, Jess Navarez, Aisha Morrison, Kelsey Charles, and Jane Slater.
Welcome in to Girls Talk, Boys Talk. Got some interesting news. You know, right before we come on the show, we get the availability of the players ahead of the weekend. And Michael Gallup no longer listed as questionable, ladies.
Yay.
I think this is significant for the team. Interestingly enough, Cooper Rush and Michael Gallup have never started in a game together. And they've had such limited practice because, what, he only had the two padded practices. I mean, if you think about it, Cooper Rush started practicing, what, 2 weeks ago? That's when we started seeing a little bit of Michael Gallup. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see what the timing is like with these two. But I think just having him on the field provides some relief for CeeDee Lamb because of the coverage that he's getting. I think Michael Gallup is absolutely a guy you have to keep an eye on if you are the Commanders. But that also opens up, you know, obviously Noah Brown. So what do you guys think when you see Michael Gallup no longer listed as questionable? It just seems like his road back from this ACL has been a long one, trending in the right direction last week. Didn't feel like he was ready to go. And like I said, looks like Sunday we'll see him start.
I think that I was thinking to myself last night, listening to Mike McCarthy's press conference. I think that how Michael Gallup and him and Mike McCarthy have been open, especially about the mental aspect of him coming back, is important. Because I think that's something that gets swept under the rug when we talk about these players returning. I think it's something that got swept under the rug a lot with Dak last year, is it how much it can affect a player coming off of multiple injuries. I mean, he had an injury the year before as well. And just some of the anxiety. He talked about Goodwin, you know, just seeing that he was injured, that he had the hamstring, and just how much that can hold him back. So I'm excited because we've also heard how much work Michael Gallup has put in. And they've talked about him being the first person in the on the training table and being present in this locker room. So getting him back on the field, I'm excited for the team, but I'm more so excited for him as a human and as a player who's worked his tail off to get back on the field.
And something that really stands out to me, I think, is timing of it all. And so we know him just coming back off of this injury, we're not going to see him get, what, all 30 reps potentially, right? So
and he doesn't have to with Noah.
Right. Yes. And so what I'm saying here is, at the end of the day, Aisha loves that term. Apparently we all say it. But at the end of the day, what we can see is the ramp up, if you will, of more progression of by the time Dak gets back, Michael Gallup will be in not prime form Michael Gallup, but he will be in a good enough position to where mentally he played, you know, one or two games. Physically, he's getting back in the role of things, and that takes a little less stress off of Dak as well to know he has another weapon to execute here in a couple
That's
of
a
weeks.
Point.
And you talked about, you know, the timing with Cooper and Michael Gallup. One dope thing about Michael Gallup is that his catch radius is probably one of the better ones you'll see in the NFL and on this team. So I think that timing will come, like, it'll come in time, depending on how long Cooper's on the field. But he is a guy that if you put it up there for him, he's going to fight to go get it. So
yeah,
that's probably helpful for Cooper as well moving forward.
Kels? Kelsey?
Okay.
All right.
That's her two cents on Michael
Gallup.
She's
speechless. She's so excited.
She's so excited. The other one on the practice report or game status report I think that is interesting is Dalton Schultz. Last week, it looked like he was good to go, but this was ultimately his decision. Just didn't feel like he was where he wanted that knee to be.
Sure.
He is listed as questionable. So I don't know if we're going to see him on Sunday. And maybe that's a good thing for Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot, who I thought had really dynamic games. But, guys, I said this last week. If I'm Dalton Schultz and I'm physically okay, I'm getting out there.
Yeah. For a franchise tag year? Absolutely.
Franchise tag. And we've seen this happening a lot with the Cowboys these days. When these younger guys start to step up, it makes easier decisions for the front office. Mm-hmm. I can move off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about just this tight end room as a whole?
Oh, I mean, I like to say that I like what I've seen from the young tight ends, and I think you get some versatility with both of them. You know, they can both spread the field in different ways. The blocking is a huge thing, because if you look back last year, some of the biggest blown plays were the tight ends not blocking well. Yeah. So to be getting that element and how important it is for the Cowboys to continue to do the thing that they say they want to do is run the ball, if I were him, I would definitely be trying to get back on this field, because these young gentlemen are doing what some of the things that he doesn't do super well right now. And then also, too, they're giving the receiving threat as well. So come on down, Schultz. Like, you need to be out there, big dog.
I was going to say, just looking at the receiving numbers from Peyton Hendershot, he had 43 yards receiving, averaging 14.3 yards. Jake Ferguson had 13 yards receiving, average 6.5 yards. But keep in mind, that's just the first time we've really seen them in action. Mm-hmm. So although those stats don't seem electrifying or jump out at you by any means, that's
14.3 was pretty electrifying.
Yeah, well, and then that's just their first time really showing what they have in a regular season scenario, right?
So, well, and likely, I mean, if you think about it, the opposing team doesn't have a lot of tape on them right now. I always go back to that, right? When there's not a lot of tape, but we said that about Noah Brown, and then he sort of built, you know, on that performance. So, yeah, I mean, I was cautiously optimistic about their ability to fill in last week, but I can honestly say I don't think many people saw them playing as well as they did, particularly against, like I said, Wink Martindale's defense didn't exactly show out against the Cowboys on Monday night, but it's a good defense.
Yeah, and I think the blocking actually helps.
Yeah,
both of their ability to block actually helps when you're doing the two tight end sets and stuff like that, because people don't know, is this guy going to catch the ball or is he going to block right now? Like, having the versatility there matters there. We did see Peyton Hendershot have some penalty issues a couple times, just getting in the rhythm of things. Jake Ferguson, he struggled with getting out of bounds in that last play. And it's interesting because it sounds like they've been giving him trouble about it all week in the locker room. But that's what
it's
you look for.
Yes,
it's a learning curve. And this experience for these gentlemen is important to get this time.
Right.
And Mike McCarthy's talked about that, getting these guys the time earlier in the season so they're not making those mistakes later in the season. It could definitely pan out differently for Dalton Schultz if he don't get on this field.
And I think something worth mentioning is Jerry Jones is very quick to talk about a quarterback competition.
Barnabas.
So if you're looking at two young tight ends that are producing, that are doing well, you have Dalton Schultz who, you know, he was still producing, but maybe not as well as to the level of par that they wanted him to. Why would there not be a tight end competition conversation with Jerry Jones if he's already talking about a quarterback competition that's non-existent? I'm just saying.
Speaking of non-existent, Kelsey disappeared for a second. Kelsey, I went
Hi,
to you to get your
hey,
thoughts
girl.
On Michael Gallup. So give me your thoughts on Michael Gallup and the importance of Dalton Schultz getting out there on the field, particularly when we talk about the play of Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot last week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that you want to see your guys step up, especially when it comes to needing to fill in for a guy like Dalton Schultz, who also did exactly that when he lost Jarwin in the previous years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one thing that I have taken issue with a couple of times, and I know I've talked to some people that are close to the team who kind of take issue with the idea and concept of a competition, these guys in the locker room, they don't do it like that.
Yeah.
Their position groups, they don't pit themselves against each other. They try to help each other. Dalton Schultz is coaching these young guys up. He views it as his responsibility to help them grow and to be the best competitors they can be. And if that ends up with him ending up on another team in the future, I think he understands that that could be a possibility. But I know to be a fact that that wasn't always the case for some position groups in the past. So I just view it as being a good teammate. I don't really feel like it's a competition. I also kind of feel like it's a natural progression of a team. You got guys that age out. You got guys that, you know, you can't afford them anymore. That's just kind of the part of working in the NFL and being a part of this business. So, you know, those are kind of my thoughts on the tight end situation. And Michael Gallup, I'm thrilled to have him back. I feel like this is a guy who has just really fought through a lot of things. And you talk about having the right kind of guy, and this is the right kind of guy, you know, through and through, on and off the field. Just a good overall kid. And then on top of it, there was so much talk about him maybe not even being on the team, and then now he's on the team, and now he's a massive component on the team. I think it's only going to help CD because, as you mentioned, Dane, the protections that a lot of these defenses have been scheming up against him, they haven't eliminated him, But I don't view CeeDee as that developed of a veteran wide receiver yet, that he can just single-handedly take those defenses and just be able to break through them like some other guys maybe have been on this team previously. So I think it would be a great help all around.
I absolutely agree with you. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our first quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this. The Commanders have not been doing their due diligence, keeping their quarterback upright, and why I think this could be a really big game for Micah Parsons and the defense. We'll cover that as well as terrible news about a former tight end here in Dallas. Girls Talk, Boys Talk, right after the break. But first, we are brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
If you've been thinking about weight loss surgery, My Bariatric Solutions has made it easier for you to schedule your initial consultation from the safety, comfort, and convenience of your own home. You'll meet one-on-one with a bariatric surgeon over a private and secure video call. You'll learn everything you need to know about the options available and which procedure is best for you. If you've been considering weight loss surgery and are ready to take the first step, call My Bariatric Solutions today at 844-326-6266. That's 844-326-6266, or go to mybariatricsolutions.com.
All right, Pepsi loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Back to Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. But first,
let's talk game day minicamp. Join former NFL players for our first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign. Drop the kiddos off at Ford Center on October 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30 while you watch the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Commanders game from your favorite restaurant in the Star District. To register your footballer for camp, visit dallascowboys.com/academy.
All right, to recap, because I know it's important on Friday as you guys are getting your fantasy football rosters ready to go, Michael Gallup looks like he will play on Sunday. Not listed as questionable the way that he was last week. Dalton Schultz, still a TBD, but a couple of other things. We've got Connor McGovern, who's had the ankle situation. He's working his way back. You've got your left guard, Jason Peters, who's we obviously saw him getting couple of reps last week, important reps. I'm interested to see what the pitch count's going to be on him this week as they sort of give him more. And then when obviously Jayron Kearse, another one I always get asked about, where's he at? Well, he's listed as questionable as well. Like, he was limited all week, so he's one I've kind of, I don't know if he's just there yet. But it was Mike McCarthy who said there's going to be some disappointed players on Sunday. And that's a good problem to have, right, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been talking about the fact that this team is 3-1 since losing Dak. I think there were some bonus wins in there. I don't think a lot of people expected them to get the Bengals win. Giants was looking a little iffy, and now you've got the Commanders coming into town, which, as I said on Wednesday, could very well be a trap game. because even Mike McCarthy said it this week, their record is not reflective of who they are as a team.
Yeah.
I think offensively, they're real sketch. They're real sus.
Yeah, I think where that stems from is the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, 1,000%.
That it stems from that, because there's no way anyone is looking at this offensive line and looking at the Cowboys defensive line and saying that it is rational to think that they're going to meticulously just, you know, it's going to be a battle in the trenches to some degree, but at the same time, I think that the Cowboys defense has to be looking at them like, oh, we can attack you here, we can attack you here, we can attack you here. They have a lot of issues on that offensive line, especially from the tackle position.
Now, don't get too cocky, Dallas Cowboys.
We did that yesterday.
And even Mike McCarthy talked about that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you can't get too ahead of yourself. You've got to focus on this game. You know, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, give this team some respect. But as good as I think the Eagles' defense is, and this is no disrespect to them, they got to the quarterback 4 times in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times in that game.
Woof.
Micah Parsons was battling through flu-like symptoms. He says he feels 100%. He feels as good as he did in college, which is scary when you consider that the Lion is at full strength. He's fed. He's ready to go.
Would not want to be Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I just think of, you know, because I think he always challenges himself. Micah is such a fascinating guy to me. And I wasn't high on him when he came in here because of some of the stuff, the off-the-field stuff that was interesting to me at the time. But the way that he stepped up this year and the things that he says, and it's not – you know, there's a lot of players in this league, as I've covered it, who talk the talk.
They say the right stuff.
But they don't really walk the
walk,
right?
They all do both,
Micah Parsons walks it every week and then some. And so I just look at what the Eagles were able to do defensively against them and how Dan Quinn got creative last week. We saw him dial in the blitz. I'm so curious about what he's going to dial up against these Commanders. And if DeMarcus Lawrence had a 3-sack game last week, what's that going to look like this week? What's it going to be like for Dorrance Armstrong?
Yeah, and you talked about the coach, right?
Something about Micah Parsons, too, is in the locker room this week, they asked him, well, you're going up against a team that had 9 sacks on their quarterback last week. How does that make you feel? He's like, well, not really any type of way, because a good team wouldn't let that happen twice in a row. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I don't really try to look at it that way. You know, I'm just here to focus on what I'm supposed to do. Just the perfect answer from Micah, because really – you shouldn't see that again from the Commanders. Could you with this defense? Absolutely. I think it's possible that you can. But from the Commanders' side of things, I mean, they were talking about in their press conferences, they know what they need to hone in on. They know Carson Wentz needs the protection. They know he needs to be quicker with getting the ball out. They know that the wide receiver core needs to be more open. And they know that essentially, it just was not good. And Jane, we were talking about this yesterday. The morale in that in the Commanders' locker room and just in their press conferences is so low right now. It's so low, and it's a team like this with the chemistry that the Cowboys have and they're building up, and the culture that's really surrounded the team right now. I think this should be a game that they win. However, you cannot get too ahead of yourself. And that's what's scary about it.
I just think there are favorable matchups in a lot of key places.
There you go.
And that's the best way that I can say that.
See, look, that's how
that's
you
so
say
nice
it. You don't,
of
want,
to,
you don't want to give bulletin
I'm
board
learning,
material,
sis.
Right?
I'm learning.
You don't want to give bulletin board material.
Yeah, I guess for me, like, I look at this and I say, again, I do believe it is technically a favorable matchup. But then I look at what this Cowboys team did in New York. And it wasn't very pretty with the first part of that game,
right.
y'all. Like, the first 3 quarters were not cute. And so I could very easily see this team coming in and maybe having a bit of a struggle at first. I will say they did a good job with halftime adjustments. So they obviously struggled a little bit in the first part of that last game. I would even go as far as say more than a little bit. Mm. And then turned around and made something happen. So, you know, they're not completely out of the woods if that does happen. But I look at, you know, some of the offensive weapons that Carson Wentz has and is, you know, unfortunately failing to use, but they still exist.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the week that they decide to figure out how to work together, that could at least be semi-problematic for the Cowboys. And that's why I think that the game, or the name at least, like trap game has been thrown around this week. Because and also these divisional games, like, you kind of throw everything out the window. It feels like they can kind of go either way, even though paper can tell you that, oh, the Cowboys should win this because of X, Y, Z.
No, I completely agree with you. And so I just, as you're looking at the record, I think Mike McCarthy said it best. I mean, and it's also any given Sunday, right?
Yeah.
But I think we've seen this in the past, though. We saw this a little bit last year.
Denver.
Dak admitted we got a little cocky. And so, yeah, you feel like you've sort of stolen some games here with Dak being out. And then you get the Commanders in town. And I just – that is what's very, very interesting to me about this game. Like I said, on paper, this 1,000% feels like a game that the Cowboys should dominate. And quite frankly – offensively, I think that they need to try and use this game to get more of a rhythm early in these games.
Yes.
I think what stood out to me about the Giants game was the fact that it was on the road. It was so loud
they
up
were
there.
Loud.
It was so loud. They score, obviously, first, and then it was the Cowboys' ability to bounce back. And we were sort of talking about this earlier. Kelsey, you said there's not competition in the locker room. It is such a healthy locker room.
Yeah. They like each other.
It's a very,
you love
very
a healthy work environment.
Yeah, they like each other. But I think this is part of like something that Mike McCarthy is and Dan Quinn together, like this coaching staff, has really tried to flip this locker room. I think the year before last, what they had a 60% turnover in 2020.
Yeah.
This year was what, almost 40? So you're getting guys like-minded gentlemen in this locker room. And when you start looking at Tyler Smith and some of these guys and just listening to how they speak about the team, how they speak about each other, there is like real chemistry in the locker room. And I think it is going to continue to show. I think it showed on the offensive line last game because, like you said, it was very loud and they communicated well. And then on the defensive side of the ball, all of them have talked about the clock, you know, being faster than for them. DeMarcus Lawrence yesterday talked about on 105.3 The Fan. He talked about how the game is just like more free for him. He's enjoying himself because after the first year, you're in an install period, right? And now these guys know exactly what they're looking at. They know exactly where they need to be. Malik Hooker's not getting a whole bunch of credit, but him being that green dot and running this defense without Jayron Kearse right now is a huge deal as well. In his second year, a safety, a free safety at that, like running your defense, it's not normal. It's
especially
not normal.
Especially because you're getting those calls in, like I said. Like you're getting them in so quick. And even last week when DeMarcus Lawrence got injured, I felt like they bend, but they don't break.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sort of stood out to me about this defense lately.
Well, mm-hmm. And I think, too, when you're playing this kind of football with this kind of culture, this kind of environment, and this kind of brotherhood, you're playing for your team, mm-hmm. right? And that's been echoed when you have, you know, guys like Zeke saying, the outside noise doesn't matter to us. We know what we're doing. We believe in ourselves. And that's so hard to find in a locker room full of that many people. I mean, really.
And you got stars,
just
too,
look
in there.
Around at how many people it's taking to make this culture what it is. And I said this yesterday, it even goes back to the terminology that is used in this building over and over and over. You hear it from Mike McCarthy and then Kellen Moore. I heard the word toolbox from Kellen Moore and then Dan Quinn and then ebb and flow from CD and from Mike McCarthy. I mean, these are terms that they're installing within this culture. And I just really don't think this chemistry is anything that anybody in this division should be sleeping on for the Cowboys, because it's a healthy culture and it's a productive culture that is sticking with the players, and that's so important.
Well, one thing I want to kind of mention, too, that's kind of a fun fact in my mind, I'm sure people are aware of this, but I often forget that these guys also take this culture off the field, too. Mm-hmm. So every Thursday, and Jane, keep me honest here, they have their position group dinners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got your O-line, you got your D-line, all of that. And I can tell you, like, a lot of the tight ends are actually coming to some of the O-line dinners, too. You've seen mm-hmm. a lot of this 12 personnel. They got to stay in lockstep. And I think that's a small note, but I think it speaks volumes, again, like we talked about, where they view themselves as an extension of that O-line at times, especially in a time like this where you do have a quarterback that, you know, while he's a backup and while he's a student of the game and he's obviously very smart, football-minded, but he still needs that protection. And so you've got to get your tight ends when they're doing the blocking types of things to be in lockstep with the O-line. So I totally agree with you guys in that regard, and I hope they keep it up. I think I've seen them stacking little victories on and off the field, and I think it really is going to continue to pay off.
And having a strong locker room is so important when you consider your situation right now as it's setting up with Cooper Rush, who is eyeing his third win this season. It would make him 4-0, the first quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys to win his first four starts, which is pretty remarkable. But I'll give you a little bit of an update about Dak Prescott, where he's at this week, and then a fun fact about Cooper Rush as relates to Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. We'll have that on the other side of the break. This is Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
If you have been thinking about weight loss surgery, My Bariatric Solutions has made it easier for you to schedule your initial consultation from the safety, comfort, and convenience of your own home. You'll meet one-on-one with a bariatric surgeon over a private and secure video call. You'll learn everything you need to know about the options available and which procedure is best for you. If you've been considering weight loss surgery and are ready to take the first step, call My Bariatric Solutions today at 844-326-6266. That's 844-326-6266, or go to mybariatricsolutions.com.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great, because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Welcome back to Girls Talk, Boys Talk, brought to you by Jigsaw Dating, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. But first,
well, let's talk fan of the year. Are you a Cowboys fan who spices up the game? Nominate yourself or friend to be the Cowboys fan of the year presented by Captain Morgan and win a trip to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. Nominate yourself or a friend at DallasCowboys.com/fan of the year. I think I know a few people I could nominate. Yeah. That spices up the game.
I mean, Glendale should be interesting. Yeah. And you can get on a quick little flight to Vegas. Yeah. Vegas Super Bowl the following year is going to be a fun one.
There you go.
Then you got New Orleans. My liver can't handle it.
As a Cowboys fan, I try not to think that far ahead, you know. I try.
I wasn't trying to say the Cowboys.
I try, Jade. I'm just saying. But hey, nominate yourself or a friend. Always a good idea there.
All right, well, are you a fan of Cooper Rush? Because I feel like he's turned into a bit of this media darling lately. As I start looking at the national networks and, you know, you're listening to these Hall of Famers talking about Cooper Rush. But it is fascinating. He's got some interesting stats as it relates to what he's been doing here in Dallas. He's 3-0 and has a 95 passer rating in his career as a starter, making him the fourth undrafted QB in the Common Era. With a winning record and 90-plus passer rating in his career as a starter. The other three familiar names that have done that, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Jason Garrett, and Tony Romo. So make of that what you will, ladies. So what's going on with Dak? We told you he got his stitches removed on Monday. I told you, like, even though I think it was Mike who said he's got a little bit of swelling, yeah. I couldn't really see it in his hand. So I get it, but it didn't look like it was overwhelming swelling. But again, he had gotten the stitches removed that morning, so sometimes the next day you get some of the swelling. But he seems so ready to play. But also, I felt like, and we talked about this week, I also felt like he understood the importance of making sure he was healed. And you can do that when you've got a quarterback like Cooper Rush who's winning games for you. And I know we're sort of circling the Rams game for his return. I still continue to maintain you should wait till the Eagles game. Mm-hmm. Just wait.
Yeah.
Because if Cooper gets another win tonight or another win on Sunday, then you've got the Rams.
Yeah.
I think the Rams are going to be a tough game for the Cowboys. But, man, if they win on the road against the Rams with Cooper Rush as your starter.
It's going to go wild. Everyone's
going
to go
feral. Then I think we are good. But I don't know if you guys listened to Jerry Jones on the radio today. He sort of walked back.
Yeah.
He basically said how well he's doing as a backup quarterback. I don't know if you guys heard that, but I thought that was it was almost like the coach was like, man, help me out here. Mm-hmm.
You're throw not me a bone. Throw me a bone, please. Yeah, you go ahead, Kels.
I was going to ask you guys a question that I actually thought was interesting. I know we talked about Scott Turner, OC over for the Commanders, and he had some, you know, obviously complimentary things to say about this team. But then I believe it was him or one of the coordinators over on their end had some commentary around Cooper Rush and how much respect they actually had for him. And I wanted to, I thought this was an interesting thought. He said, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if you see this guy as a coordinator down the line. You know, is this the next Kellen Moore where it's like you have a guy
I just think it's too much. I don't think we have a big enough sample size.
It's fair. It's fair. I definitely agree with that. But like I was looking at it, I was like, man, like that's an interesting thought. Like what a big thing to throw out there and to put on Cooper Rush's shoulders, like, hey man, get us through like this week. But then also you're going to probably be a coordinator one day. And I was like, man, are we already going there? And like, is that feasible, you guys think?
Well, the week before it was Wink Martindale who was saying he was looking at the tape of a guy that was a starting quarterback in the league. And I'm like, but I remind you, look at all these teams that needed backup quarterbacks or needed starters.
And their defense.
You had Minnesota.
He wasn't slinging that thing around like this, though. Like, I'm going to be honest with you because I was very vocal. You already know. I was like, the way that ball coming out of his hand is just not being delivered fast enough to me. And that's something we saw in the preseason. He wasn't stepping into throws the same way. He has zip on this ball now. Like, definitely have to eat some crow. I don't know where this arm strength came from, but it's different.
It wasn't there in camp.
I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now, this is a big opportunity for him. I don't know if it means coordinator. I don't know if it means all of that. All I know it means is that if he continues to put good tape out there as a backup quarterback that does not let, because he's also not doing some of the, he's like, sometimes you bring a backup quarterback in to just manage the game. This guy is checking out of plays. He's communicating to people.
Yeah.
He's drawing guys off sides.
That's what was interesting to me.
He's taking those mental games
against the Giants.
And that takes communication from the offensive line and chemistry like we're talking about. So whereas I felt prior to him playing, some of the things he's displaying are higher level things. The processing, that like some of this stuff.
Well, that helps when you've been on the sidelines for 6 years. As Dak said, you're seeing things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
You've sort of been a bit of a sponge here and you soaked all in. That's why I thought his comment last week that I don't dream as big as Jerry was so important for that locker room to respond the way that he did. Because a lot of people, like there's a level of when you choose to be a starting quarterback in the league, I'm not saying everyone's a narcissist, but there's a level of narcissism.
Yeah, you got to have it.
And an attitude and a swag that you have to have. And it's just like, Cooper seems just devoid
he's
of
so
all
chill.
Of that.
He's so chill. I told just, y'all he liked it.
It's like Ryan Fitzpatrick-esque. You know, it's like Ryan Fitzpatrick was always
exactly.
just like,
I'm just,
you know,
here.
I'm just here.
And, you know, I think that goes back to, like you just said, Jane, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's what happens when you've been around the block here for a few years. And even Kellen Moore mentioned that this week about him. Well, yeah, we don't worry about Cooper. He's been here. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what we're doing. He's kind of grown through the highs and the lows with them. Really, when you look at them the last 6 years, he's been there. He's just been in the shadows and the background a little bit. But really, I don't know. And look, I have respect for Cooper Rush. I was team Cooper Rush during this offseason.
She was. What
I will say is I don't know if he would have the same amount of success going to another team that he hasn't been around for this long.
That's a very good point.
I don't know if it's... Everyone's, you know, I don't want to say.
Briefly, didn't he?
Yeah, and
he
I don't.
He went to another team.
He did.
Very, very briefly.
I don't want
right?
to say people are overhyping him, but it's also very easy for him to be successful where he is right now with the Cowboys because he's been here. When you know the scheme, when you've been around it, when you're essentially part of it for the last 5 years, you should know it and you should be playing like this. I mean, really.
Well, and when you were talking about Cooper Rush, I think he's done a really good job of managing the game, right? Like, he doesn't have your gaudy stats. Like, for instance, I'm looking at this right now. Like, Rush has not thrown three or more passing touchdowns in a game in his career. Prescott's done that 26 times.
It literally looks like 2016 Dak Prescott stats. It's the same exact thing where he's passing the ball, using play action. They're running the ball heavy. Defense plays enough. You know, like I think this defense hasn't been don't break like 2016. But it's a similar concept of what you would do when you bring in a backup quarterback. He does, however, take big plays when they're there. And that's going to continue to help him out.
The difference with Dak, though, back then was that he wasn't around like Cooper Rush was, though. You know, so that's what it really differentiates Dak from being the starting quarterback to Cooper Rush being the backup, because that was Dak's rookie year. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of pressure for him to come in and win those games 2016. He did it. And Cooper Rush has had the years to build the experience, build the knowledge, read the playbook, be around the scheme to be like he is now. So when people start having this conversation of, oh, is there going to be a quarterback competition? No, because that should tell you in itself the difference of the players that they are. And that's okay. You should have a backup quarterback that wins games. It's just beyond me that it's still a conversation for a competition.
Can I play devil's advocate for here for a second?
I would love that.
Of course, Kelsey.
Okay, so I actually was listening to our dear friend Kevin Turner the other day, and he had a good point. He was like, listen, I'm, like, all on board with Cooper Rush. Like, I hear everything you guys are saying. He's like, but here's the facts. Like, yes, he's won games, but with that first half of the Giants game, I just mentioned it earlier, you only had, like, six – like, we didn't have a touchdown.
Nope.
Like, we literally didn't have a touchdown. So I guess, you know – the question I have from you guys is, obviously he's earned a little bit of some leash, if you will, but like, how much does he have in terms of grace if he were to make mistakes?
Yeah.
And if CeeDee wouldn't have done what he had done last week and had this incredible catch and XYZ, because let's face it, like, it wasn't exactly incredible. Like, he's done things and he's gotten the W, but there's been some moments where it's been kind of hairy and we've had to rely on special teams to get points on the board versus your backup quarterback, who, again, we're giving a lot of praise to. It's well-deserved, but, like, let's talk about the whole entire picture here.
But is that all on Cooper? Because there was a lot of incomplete drop passes from some of his receiver group. I mean, when we talk about taking the
More
deep
penalties.
Shots when you need to, that deep shot to CeeDee Lamb, that deep shot to Amari Cooper against Minnesota, like, those are the things that – I'm just saying there is not a quarterback controversy right now.
That's
but let's
exactly
assume
what I'm saying too.
That he goes to the Rams and gets a win on the road. Then I think we're talking interesting things here. And then
do you go back to riding the hot hand?
I think
and that
you're a little
kind
bit
of
more surprised by that than I would be.
Oh, I think it's good. And then, okay, let's assume Dak still isn't ready yet. So, okay. That's why I thought this timeline was very premature. And, like, even at practice, mm-hmm. he's still, like, he's rehabbing, but he's still not, mm-hmm. he's not quite there yet, right?
He doesn't
right?
need to rush, though.
So let's assume they decide, okay, following week after the Rams, we're going to go ahead and we're going to roll with Coop again. Coop wins on the road against Philadelphia.
I'm excited about it. I don't care.
Then you get a bye week.
Mm.
And then you bring Dak back. And then let's assume Dak struggles. Then we've got a problem.
Yeah. I don't think we should have a problem because it's to be expected.
Well, and by that
we've
point,
got a problem because of Dax getting in his head.
Well, and at that point, though,
And you think the coverage now is at a fever pitch after just 3 wins?
Dak shouldn't struggle when he gets back, because at that point the offense should be gelling way more than they are right now, and they should be progressing. They should be making touchdowns in the first quarter. Let's start with that. Let's start like baby steps here,
it's
right?
Progressive.
They should be progressing. Yeah. The penalty should be lower. The pass pro should be pretty top notch, especially if you're going in to play Green Bay. All of those things should be corrected. Really, all Dak has to do is go in, get out of his own head, and play. I mean, at that point, if you're talking
easier said than done, though,
right? If you're talking in that timeline, but Cooper Rush, you know, if you're going with the logic of play the hot hand, so what? The first time he loses, you're going to yank him and say, "Okay, Dak, now you're back in." I think it's getting a little messy at that point, and that messes with the chemistry and the healthiness that we were just talking about in the locker room.
No, I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, if Coop continues to win, and you really want, and we've seen them really slow play some of these injuries coming back. That's why I thought this whole thing 4 weeks was very aggressive, and I just didn't see it happening. I still truly don't believe he's playing week 5 against the Rams. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I do think that we could see him potentially in the Eagles game. But my whole thing is, because it's Sunday Night Football, it's against a division rival, that is
right.
a tough place to play, and that is a tough team. Mm-hmm. If he struggles, that would get in anyone's head,
yeah.
even the most resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And so, like, I'm just saying, we've already seen the fever pitch nationally of the whole Cooper, Dak, Jerry hasn't helped it. What's that conversation look like if those scenarios that I just discussed play out?
For me, it's just my backup. The backup quarterback's doing his job. For me personally. He's doing his job. He's getting ready. And I think that if the Cowboys continue to build off of their run game, that is something that helps a quarterback coming back from an injury to get back in a rhythm. It's going to take Kellen Moore also, too, to have a game plan that's comfortable for Dak to get into. We talked about it before. I think if he does come back against Philly, it is a familiar opponent. Ain't nothing new. So I feel like we can avoid there being controversy if we talk about it in the right way. And also, too, we've seen this story before. Like,
we'll be responsible about it.
Oh, of course. That's what I'm saying.
My point is nationally.
Yeah, they're going to take it and run with it.
But when these guys say, I don't pay attention, they do.
Yeah.
They 1,000% do. It's any human would. I mean, you'd have to be a Teflon personality to not let it get to you.
I don't know.
I mean, it happens in my own career, right?
Like,
and especially when there's so much conversation about his money and the fact that his contract renegotiations are, you know, what, we're 2 seasons out from that. All of this stuff gets used. And so what I'm just saying is it's great for the team if the Cowboys win these next two, but it could be very messy from a mental perspective if Cooper continues to show out. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, messy is key word right there.
The Bucks game where he came back and played really well that game, and hopefully he has the same mentality. And we've talked about this locker room numerous times. Hopefully they just get behind him. And
but Andy Dalton wasn't a threat in years past.
Tater tots.
I see your point, and it's so valid. However, let's see how they play on Sunday. Because what I talked about yesterday
was... But is that a great litmus? It's Washington.
No.
What I'm saying is the litmus is if...
Right. You're thinking like longevity here.
If you've got Cooper going on the road against the Rams and he gets a win, that is going to change the trajectory of this conversation.
What I'm saying, too, is what's going to change the trajectory of any conversation about Cooper Rush is if he loses. Especially if he loses to Washington, that is going to change.
That's actually another way you
can look at it. That is going to change every single conversation everybody has had this week about Cooper Rush. He won't be your media darling anymore. They'll be like, oh, bring Dak back. Hurry, Rush. Let's go. Get Dak back right away. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Wait until Sunday, because if he loses somehow, which they shouldn't lose to the Commanders.
They shouldn't lose. But it's a very
Cowboys
thing to do.
It's going to be a very different conversation about Cooper Rush next week.
Fun fact, though. Dallas, every time they've gotten a win in each of the last two seasons, they've missed the – let's see. Dallas made the playoffs each of the last two seasons. They won at Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They missed the playoffs each of the last two seasons. They lost there. So take that for what it's worth. Do you have some past interference for me?
I don't, but I do want to just pay our respects to Gavin Escobar's family, friends, and loved ones because, Aisha and I obviously haven't been around here long, but growing up a football fan and seeing them, you know, it's very hard for the Cowboys community, but I can't imagine what his family and his friends, his loved ones, everybody in this building who knew him personally is going through. So just want to pay our respects there and say our thoughts, our prayers are with everybody. And it's really tough. It's really tough to see a professional athlete that people look up to and admire, you know, pass away. And so we just wanted to pay some respects there. And back in 2015, my family and I would go to training camp we love training camp. And so it's funny when you meet these players, it's very different as a fan. And my mom was insistent, like, oh, take a picture. And he's like, no, get in the picture. He's like, no, let me take the picture. Aww. And he's like, no, get in the picture. So that was like selfie stick prime days. So posted on Twitter about that picture that he was insistent that my mom was in. And that's so key to me because most players are kind of in a rush, especially at training camp, to get out of there. And the fact that he was like, no, get in. And they kind of like argued for a second. But just sending all of our love, our prayers to everybody impacted.
Yeah, I'll echo that. I know, Jane, you and I both spent some time with Gavin directly.
Yeah.
That was still when I was with the team full time. And just a wonderful guy. Like, really, genuinely, just a wonderful guy. I talked to one of his former coaches last night, and he was so excited. They kept in touch. And he was so excited, Gavin, because he was just becoming a firefighter. Mm. I know he and his wife and their two young kids have been taking the past few years to travel around and in their Airstream. And so that has just been a part of like their lifestyle for the past couple of years. So it's awful to lose anyone. And I know we all kind of have personal ties, but man, just really sending big hugs and just all of the good energy towards his family and those two young babies. Because
it's just awful.
And that's what you hate. You know, at 31 years of age, you know, you dedicate so much time to that craft. And then when you're out of it, you have to pivot. And we've seen that with so many guys, like the adjusting to what I call civilian life. Mm-hmm. And the fact, and Jerry talked about it today, it was kind of sweet that at least he was doing something that he had found as a hobby and that he loved, you know, but just one of those freak accidents. And like I said, so young.
31.
It's just, Kelsey, you sent it to me last night, and I honestly couldn't believe it. It was just so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was nuts. Like, the moment we saw it, it's like PR, I didn't even know. We didn't, like, none of the coaches that I talked to knew. Like, it was all around shocking. Mm-hmm. And so, gosh, just an awful, 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 awful accident, and sending so many big hugs to their family and everyone that's been impacted by just his loss, because I know it's a big one.
Such a tough year when you consider some of the people in the Cowboys family that we've lost. Yeah. It's just, you know, Gary Brown this year was a tough one.
Yeah, it was.
That was rough. Anyways, well, thank you for watching. How do I pivot from that?
Yeah.
Girls talking, boys talk. We are hoping that we talk to you on a Victory Monday.
Let's hope so.
Like I said, be a very cowboy thing to do.
Yeah. Go hug somebody that you love today.
But yes.
That's how we can end it.
Great point, Jess. I appreciate that. And we will talk to you guys on Monday.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!